There's interviews with local and national musicians like Glenn Tilbrook, Pat D'Annunzio, Princess Superstar, Chaotic Link, authors, directors, artists, and personalities of all shapes and flavors. That's right after the traditional folk show and just before the Soul Glow Bistro. The Salvage and Recovery Radio program, Monday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. on WUSB Stony Brook.
And it's 6 o'clock. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's time once again for another exciting edition of Off the Wall. Oh, come on, give me a break here. I mean, this is not fair. Thank you. You know, you pay all this money for CD players that can't play CDs. What is up with that? What is up with this? Okay, you know what? I'm ratting you out. I am ratting you out right here on the air. This is a Marantz CD player, Marantz professional CD player. No, it's too late. It's too late. Looking for the model number. Hold on. I don't know the model number. It doesn't say. I mean, we call it CD1, but it's certainly not number one in reliability, that's for sure. It's not even number one on the stack here. It's in the middle. CD4 is on top of it. CD2 is below it. Where's CD3? Does anybody even know where CD3 is? Yeah, you know what? You're not winning me over by playing it now. You know, you might as well just stop. And don't even start thinking there's something wrong with my CD, okay? Because I play that CD in all different kinds of CD players. The only ones that it doesn't work in are the ones here at the radio station. Yeah, and I'll rat them out too. Okay, you know what? The Tascam CD450, which is up on top, that's CD4. That won't even load my CD. It just says loading over and over again. And the one on the bottom, CD2, well, that's all set to play the outro, so I don't want to piss it off, so we're just going to hope that it stays together. Thing is, you know, these CD players are recommended to us by other radio stations. I don't know if they just want to see us fall apart, or if there's just something wrong with this place. I still have to gather my papers, so let's hope that this next bit goes somewhat smoothly. No, it stopped right there. How did it know to stop there? It stopped between the notes. Wow, it's incredible. Okay, well, you know, I guess I'm just going to have to arrange my papers as I talk. It's awfully unprofessional, but what are you going to do, you know? When music doesn't play, when it's supposed to play, I should get a live band to come in here every week. It's really the only way. Of course, then the microphones probably wouldn't work. I don't know. Yeah, so welcome back to those of you who boycotted the Radiothon. Hopefully you didn't. Hopefully you donated. We did quite well last week, making, what, over $700 in an hour, which is great. It's incredible. And I want to thank everybody who pledged for the radio station throughout our month of begging for better equipment and things that actually work. And it made a big difference. It's keeping us going. And hopefully one day you'll hear things that work properly. You know, if you want to hear back in our heyday when things actually did work properly, the Voice of Long Island that we posted this week is a particularly good one, because we wound up calling all kinds of international operators and hearing the phone system back then. Yeah, that worked better then too. And our phones, we could actually call an operator and speak to a human being. You can't do that anymore either. But it was a lot of fun. So I suggest going to www.2600.com/VOLI, V-O-L-I, stands for Voice of Long Island. That was the show we had back in 1981 through 83, where we did all kinds of amazing things. It was a lot of fun. And, of course, we also had a classic newscast that followed those phone calls. Yeah. I know I shouldn't hit the CD player. I'm not going to hit the CD player, but I want to. I really do. I want to fire laser beams at it or do something. It's simply incredible. All the buttons on it, too. It looks so professional and sleek. Yet it can't play a CD. It just can't manage to do that. It lights up fine. It's a nice little amber screen and the green backlit buttons and all kinds of things. It's got this little toggle dial thing, which I don't know what it's for. I'm sure that doesn't work either. Well, it's drawing things on the screen. Isn't that nice? I'm making a circle on the screen. I don't know what I'm doing exactly. Oh, I'm controlling the pitch. Oh, so I can slow down the music maybe. Except it doesn't seem to be doing a damn thing. Maybe I have to, I have to go into a mode. And apparently there's some way of going into modes. You have to hit buttons and enter codes. But nobody knows how to do that. Okay, yeah, you know, I'm having some trouble with physics, actually. That's what I've been working on, trying to get in. First of all, there's too many people in this building. I don't know why there are so many people in the building. You know, this is the Student Union Building at the State University of New York at Stony Brook. Built with the wrong concrete, so it leaks all the time. And the right concrete is in the lecture center across the campus. Actually, it's the concrete for the basement of this building, so that building will withstand nuclear blasts, but this building will leak every time it rains. It's just one of the many Stony Brook legends. And a CD player will never become one of those. I don't know why so many people are in this building and not in other buildings, but something's going on. You know, it's incredible. When the Union Building was the only student gathering point on campus, before we had what's known as the SAC, the Student Activity Center, the building I never go into, used to be, this was it. This was where all the activity happened. There'd be a concert in this building. There'd be a film playing someplace else. There'd be some kind of disco upstairs and people smoking pot downstairs and a coffee house and a pinball arcade and the bowling alley. It all used to happen right here. But now virtually none of that happens, and yet people are still crowding around. It's awfully weird, isn't it? But the real physics problem I've been having issues with over the past couple of weeks, actually, it's motion, it's movement. A simple thing. You can't. You know what? I'm going to turn it down. No, that's it. It's over. It's down. It can finish playing on its own, but no one's going to hear it. You'll be the proverbial tree in the forest, which is where this thing should wind up. What was I saying? So distracting. As far as motion, moving, walking, running, you know? Tell me, can you run? Can you actually run without knowing how to walk? Can you take a tenth step without taking a first step? I don't think you can. I do not think you can. Yet I've been having the time of my life trying to explain this to so-called leftist moderates who can't seem to get that little simple fact, you know? You have to take steps to get to some place. And I'm talking about all the crying over the healthcare initiative that came out of the House. And you know how difficult it was for that to come out of the House? Yes, it's not perfect. It's not even great. It certainly pales in comparison to what our friends in other countries have. And that abortion thing, it's a joke. It's totally a joke, but is it something that should wind up killing the entire thing? People like Dennis Kucinich seem to think It is. And that's why he voted no. I think that's extremely foolish. I think that's something that winds up putting us right back to where we started, or even before where we started. And the reason it's worse is because next time somebody comes along and says, hey, I've got a plan for healthcare reform, people will say, you know, we've been there, we've tried it, doesn't work, let's not even waste our time anymore. So, yeah, you know, it's not something that is great, it's not something that's perfect, but it's something that's better than what we have right now. And the thing is, none of these people disagree with that. They all say, yeah, it's better, but it's not good enough. It's not going to, well, you know what? This is as good as we're going to get right now. We have a democratically controlled House. We have a democratically controlled Senate. We have a democratic president. So if we can't get something more progressive, we're going to have to elect a whole lot more people who are progressive. And that's, doesn't seem like it's going to happen anytime soon. In fact, it looks like it's going to go the other way. And if it goes the other way, you're not even going to have this. So if you have a plan like this, and it actually does do some good, it actually does succeed and doesn't cause all kinds of chaos and turmoil like the Republicans want us to believe, then you have a chance of making it better, of stripping out the things that are stupid, of expanding the coverage to include things that you want to have included. But only by taking that first step can you get to the second step and the third and all the ones after that. People want shortcuts. They want to get there first. And they don't seem to realize that there's a whole country full of people here that don't all agree. And some of them may be right. Some of them may be wrong. I'd say some of them definitely are right and some of them definitely are wrong. Thing is, we have to work with all kinds of people. This is the thing Obama keeps saying, that we have to work with people we disagree with. His biggest mistake, and this definitely was a big mistake, was reaching out before he started to negotiate on this issue. He assumed that that people on the other side of the aisle would be willing to work with him. And that, of course, turned out to be wrong. They're not. They always vote together. Maybe was one Republican voted for this thing in the House. Do you know how many Republicans there are in the House? Only one could see fit to vote for a democratically backed health care initiative, despite what the people back home might be saying. It's like the Borg Collective. They pretty much speak with one voice, whereas the Democrats are always at each other's throats and not backing each other up. And that's the reason why. That's the reason why you're not seeing progress on this, is because these so-called conservative Democrats are siding with the Republicans. So it's not like, it's like you don't really have as many Democrats as you think you do. It's kind of weird and strange and convoluted, but that's the way it is. And you have to accept that. You have to accept the fact that these people are going to block things unless you make them happy somehow. And if you don't make them happy somehow, then you have nothing. So, yeah, you know, let's take some steps. They're not going to be everything we want. They're not going to be things that make us delirious with joy, but they're going to be steps. And, you know, if you extend this into 2010 and 2012, we're going to be right back into the Bush years. 2010 is a very critical year, because if the House and the Senate go back to the Republicans, or Even if they go back more into balance, where the Republicans just have more seats but not a majority, it's going to be almost impossible to pass any kind of legislation that people like us would be happy with. So the volume needs to be amped a little bit. Not against ourselves, not against the people that are trying the best they can, but against those people that there are fundamental differences with. See, the problem is, whenever they take these polls, and they just took one a day or so ago, saying, do you support the health care initiative that came out of the House? Well, you know, if I think that it doesn't go far enough, if I think that the abortion thing is a stupid idea, if I think that Republicans had way too much influence in this kind of thing, if I think that, I say no, I don't think it's a good idea. And then, of course, all the conservatives are going to say also, no, I don't think it's a good idea, but they're going to say it for different reasons. Yet, that translates to the majority of Americans not liking it. Meaning the majority of Americans do not want health care reform. You see how it can be distorted. Same thing with all the bitching and moaning going on. Yeah, you know, we're unhappy with the way things are going, but we're unhappy for different reasons. It's because of this frustration, all this giving and taking. But we have to understand we're moving in a particular direction. And if we want to move in a particular direction, keep going in that direction, then we have to choose our battles. We have to recognize why we're opposed to somebody and why we disagree with somebody else and not lump it all together and wind up weakening that which we allegedly stand for. So this is how 2010 is going to be critical. If the so-called progressives and moderates and people on the quote-unquote left don't stick together and keep trying to push. You know, Obama can only move in a direction if there's momentum in that direction. I've seen the left implode so many times in various organizations and movements. And it's really, you know, it's kind of sad because when you're idealistic, when you want to give people you disagree with a voice, when you want to stand up for the underdog and everything isn't always just your way or the highway, you know, that's easy. That's easy to live that way. It's easy to live as somebody who just wants what they want and they don't really care about anybody else. I'm not saying that's the entire right wing, but that's a good subset of it. And it's very easy to stick with people who believe that. Not standing up for people that you don't agree with because you don't agree with them, you don't stand up for them at all. Whereas on the left, people tend to be a little bit more conciliatory towards those people they disagree with. Well, is that fair? Do we have the right to deny this person this particular advantage? Who are we to say this? And that's one of the attributes. That's one of the noble things about the left in this country and in the world, in fact. But it goes a little too far sometimes. And people wind up tearing each other apart, turning into bitter enemies. Go to any leftist organization, and it's likely you will find that the people they are fighting are the leftists rather than people who really want to see them destroyed. And oftentimes you just have to step back and they'll destroy themselves. That would be a real pity if it happened in this moment in history where we actually have chances of making significant change. And yet, you know, never take the pressure off. You always have to make your elected officials realize that you're out there, that you're a force to be reckoned with. I believe Obama has even said that many times. You have to stay on top of me and remind me of these things. But it's not going to happen overnight. It can't happen overnight. It's impossible. And the thing is, if you push too hard and you make things happen overnight by presidential decree or things like that, I think a lot of people want a king. They really do. They want somebody to just sign legislation without any kind of congressional debate. And if you do that and you get away with it, it doesn't really play out well for you in the future, and these things usually wind up going backwards as a result. So, yeah, physics. One step at a time. Let's take that first step. Let's get there. You know, the people who are upset about the abortion clause, you know, I hear you. I agree. It's stupid. It's backwards, but is it better than what the government plan now is? And I think it might be because there is no government plan now. So we have a better chance of improving the government plan that gets put into place than improving one that's not there. And it will be improved. No question about that. But you can't improve it if it's not working. And, you know, all these people who say, where's all this money going to come from? We can't afford this. You know, that has to be turned around. Instead of worrying about all this money, first of all, we've thrown so much money into all kinds of wasteful endeavors over the years without any kind of debate. But when you say that, where's $1 trillion over 10 years or however much money they're saying this is going to be, which if you balance it out against all these other things, it's not a huge amount. You're basically saying we don't have the money to help keep people healthy. And we don't want to spend that money. That's what it really is. People who say this are saying they do not want to spend money to keep their fellow citizens healthy, alive, whatnot. But sending people off to war, yeah, that's okay. That's necessary. That has to be done. Throwing endless supplies of money at the Pentagon, sure, why not? And I could list a whole lot of things, but you get the idea. There's lots of money out there being thrown around. This is something worthwhile. It's not going to be gotten right the first time or immediately. But this is definitely a step. And all these people who keep talking about broken promises, do you see this as a broken promise? I don't. I see this as someone trying their best to make this happen and being met with a wall of opposition from all different sides, different walls, I guess. Another promise that apparently is being kept is phasing out the military tribunals, having actual trials. Hey, they're going to have an actual trial of terrorists in New York City. How exciting. How interesting. Maybe it'll bring some tourists in, huh? Yeah, it's definitely something to talk about, but there's a lot of backlash. There are a lot of people who still want these secret military tribunals to be deciding justice. And that's a very unhealthy thing. Just today, in fact, the Associated Press is reporting this. An Arizona congressman who believes it's a security risk to prosecute suspected September 11 terrorist in Manhattan suggested New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg's family could be in danger with such a high-profile case in town. These are the tactics that get used. Speaking on the House floor Monday night, Republican Representative John Shadegg wondered whether bringing the professional mastermind of the 2001 attacks to face trial in Manhattan would endanger everyone from the mayor's daughter to the judge's wife. Well, Mayor, how's he know the judge isn't going to be a woman? Mayor, how are you going to feel when it is your daughter that is kidnapped at school by a terrorist? Shattuck said. This is political correctness run amok, he added. Bloomberg spokesman Stu Lozer said we're not dignifying this with a response. But yeah, you know, that's how the system works. You put people on trial. They're in our country, they are privy to our customs. So let's see what the case is. This is a good thing. This is what countries that are democratic should do. Not have secret military tribunals, have open trials that the whole world can see. Because if you don't do that, you've changed. You've changed who you are, what you represent. And sure, you know, there's a risk every day. Why is there more of a risk having a trial in New York City than having a trial someplace else? I mean, you could still piss off the terrorists who will blow something up because there's a military tribunal happening at that time. You know, they won't necessarily just go to one particular place because the trial is at that particular place. In fact, they probably wouldn't want to blow up the courtroom because their friend is in there, right? So, I don't know. I'm trying to follow the logic, and it's a little bit difficult. Now, this is also extending to moving Guantanamo Bay inmates. And the take here is rather interesting. There's a proposal to move them to an Illinois prison. I didn't know there were largely vacant maximum security prisons, but apparently there are. There's one in northern Illinois, and they're seeing this, or the governor at least is seeing this, as what he called a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for the economy. Oh my God, wow, it's never really thought about it that way. Bringing in terrorists, that's something that can help us. This is something that is very good for our state, it's good for our economy, it's good for public safety, said Illinois Governor Pat Quinn. Now, the Thompson Correctional Center is where they're thinking of moving these guys. And there aren't that many of them either. It's like 100, fewer than 100. And there are 1,600 beds in that facility. So 100, they get 16 beds each, apparently. That's, wow, that's something. Oh, well, apparently there's a lot of room for expansion, you know. All kinds of other terrorists could be imported. Or they could just do other things with the rest of the bill. I don't know. How did they wind up in an empty prison in this country where we're imprisoning everybody? An Obama administration official said on Saturday, as part of the conversion at Thompson, the Bureau of Prisons and Defense Department would enhance security to exceed those of the nation's only supermax prison. Okay, who knows where the nation's only supermax prison is? No, it's not Stony Brook. Very funny. The U.S. Penitentiary Administrative Maximum Facility. Where is it? Nobody? All right, it's in Florence. There. Oh, you don't know where Florence is, do you? Yeah, Florence could be anywhere, couldn't it? Well, no person has ever escaped from that prison. Of course, I'm not sure how many Supermax prisoners there are in the first place. All right, it's in Florence, Colorado. So if you ever want to visit, that's where it is. Now, of course, people are concerned about this. U.S. Representative Mark Kirk, Republican of Illinois, whose district covers suburban Chicago, circulated a letter addressed to President Obama to Illinois leaders on Saturday opposing the possible transfer of detainees and saying that housing them in Thompson would turn metropolitan Chicago into ground zero for jihadist terrorist plots, recruitment, and radicalization. How is it easier to recruit people into a jihadist terrorist plot because the prison is nearby? Not following that logic. As home to Chicago's Willis Tower? Really? It's not called the Sears Tower anymore? When did that happen? It's called the Willis Tower now. What are they talking about? Wow, that's something else. That's the nation's tallest building, the Willis Tower. We should not invite Al-Qaeda to make Illinois its number one target. So, you know, it seems to me that the Republicans here are running scared of the terrorists. They don't want to invite trouble by annoying them, by having prisoners in a prison that we can point a finger at. They'd rather have them in some secret place, somewhere far away. Well, you know, that's not really standing up for the values that you allegedly stand up for, is it? So, yeah, it's controversial. I'd like to know what people think about this. In fact, I would like to take some phone calls tonight. We haven't done that in a while because we've been raising money, and now we're not. So we have phone lines. And I'll give you the phone number. We'll take phone calls in just a couple of minutes. Wouldn't mind seeing the phone ring, though, so I know people are out there, so I don't have to do the whole going into delay thing and wind up talking to myself. Phone number is area code 631, and then the phone number is 632-9872. 631-632-WUSB. And, of course, the country code is 1 in case you're outside the country. And we'd especially like to hear from new people. New people that have never been on the radio before, or have never called us before. It could change your life. You know, last week I played some recordings of one of the first times I was on the air here. And, yeah, definitely changed my life and changed the lives of many other people. And, okay, of course, today, if I sound a little tired, it's because Okay, there are phone calls. Thank you. We're going to maybe in about 3 or 4 minutes we'll go to the phones. How's that? Okay. As they hang up. Thank you. Thank you for showing me you're out there. If I sound tired, it's because I had to camp out all night. And even after doing that, I was still number 7 getting the Sarah Palin book. But I got one. That's the important thing. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. I have no interest in reading that tripe. But you know what's funny about this? It's just looking at the coverage. Looking at the coverage of the mass media. Last night, I didn't watch this, but I saw a promo for it. Larry King was doing a program discussing the interview that Oprah had with Sarah Palin. He didn't have an interview with anybody. He didn't have an interview with Sarah Palin. He had a show where he was talking to people about another interview with somebody who shouldn't matter at all because she's boring and repetitious and just provocative for the sake of being provocative. And can we say once and for all that she's not going to be candidate? I'd love her to be candidate in 2012. That would be great. But she, after all this, do you really think anybody is going to take her seriously? I mean, be my guest. Take her seriously. If you really think, if you're on the right wing and you want to campaign for Sarah Palin, nothing would make me happier. But I really think the Republican Party has more sense than that. She's going for the money now. And the afternoon talk show, perhaps, and who knows what else? Just the fame, the glitter, and the glory. So yeah, okay. So here we are talking about Larry King not talking to anybody and just simply talking about an interview with somebody on a different network, and that person really shouldn't be in the news at all. Yeah, I know. I'm aware of the hypocrisy, but I still think pointing it out is something that needs to be done. So that you realize how silly the whole thing is. And of course, you know, Oprah Winfrey was one of Obama's biggest supporters, so I guess it was a little bit tense for a little while. But yeah, that's something. That's something. That's what's in the news. That's the important business people are talking about these days. Not important stories like the ice skating bear that killed the Russian circus hand. You know, how could this not have gotten coverage? A bear on ice skates attacked 2 people during rehearsals at a circus in Bishkek, which is the capital of Kyrgyzstan, killing one of the people. That's according to a Kyrgyz official. How do you even say that? I'm sorry. That's such a weird word. Kyrgyz. Wow. This incident actually happened a couple of weeks ago. The 5-year-old animal killed the circus administrator, Dmitry Poptopov, and mauled an animal trainer who was attempting to rescue him. It's unclear what caused the bear to attack him. And, of course, the bear was shot and killed by authorities. I don't know. You know, it must have been a bizarre sight to see an ice skating bear going after somebody. But if I was a bear on ice skates, at some point I'd ask myself the question, what in God's name am I doing? This is not what nature intended. Whereas nature did intend mauling to a certain degree, and this might have proven to be a good occasion for that. With all due sympathy for the victims here. And get this, look what they discovered. The ban on smoking in public places like bars and restaurants has been one of the greatest public health debates of the early 21st century. Now, 2 large studies suggest that communities that pass laws to curb secondhand smoke got a big payoff, a drop in heart attacks. What do you know? Overall, American, Canadian, and European cities that have implemented smoking bans had an average of 17% fewer heart attacks in the first year compared with communities that had not taken such measures. They're getting closer and closer to realizing that smoking is bad for you. And being around smoke is bad for you. It's incredible to watch the human race slowly moving forward. Yeah, that's very good. Glad they're figuring that out. I was wondering the other day, how many animals get lung cancer? You know, do dogs, do cats, do they get lung cancer? If they don't, is that not good amount of proof that unless your dog smokes, which I don't think many dogs do. Of course, with the ice skating bears, I guess smoking dogs are also a possibility. But I think things like that need to be looked at as potential ammunition in these battles. Okay, one more story, then we'll go into delay and take some exciting phone calls. We talked a little bit about this last week, only for a moment, but it was the 20th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. And throughout Berlin, they had these huge dominoes. I think they were made out of styrofoam. I don't know how they managed to ship these things, but they sent them all around the world. School kids decorated them. Also, I don't know where they went afterwards. So, does anybody have one? I mean, I'd love to have one in my house. If you want to send me a huge styrofoam domino, that would be great. The guy who started pushing them was none other than Lech Walesa. Remember him? He started the whole Solidarity thing in Poland. You remember the whole Solidarity thing in Poland, right? Poland? Country overseas? You know, overseas, a different place than here? Oh my God, it's like The Prisoner. I've been watching The Prisoner, the new Prisoner, which has just come out. It's a three-night miniseries. And the people there in the village, this is different from the series, which came out in 1968. The people there apparently are unaware that any other place exists. Electricity was invented by number 575 or something like that. There is no place called New York. Everything just happens in this one little community of, based on their numbers, I would say probably about 1,000 or so people, maybe a couple of thousand at the most. It's well done. Don't get me wrong. It's interesting. I like the way they film it. I like the dialogue. It's not stupid. Unlike the remake of V, which I'm not even going to get into. But, you know, if I was there, if I was in the village, I'd be asking myself some serious questions, or I'd be asking these people questions, such as, where does your food come from? Who built your cars? These clothes you're wearing, where were they made? Where's the textile plant? There's a lot of assumptions going on here. And apparently everybody speaks English. They've gotten rid of the international flair of the original village in the original series. So yeah, if everybody speaks English, I guess that doesn't beg the question, why does that person speak a different language? But still, can you really imagine, even if you were born there and brought up there, not asking obvious questions like that? Now, granted, I've only seen one night of it, so maybe this is delved into in subsequent episodes, but it's a bit of a stretch. A fun ride, granted, but a bit of a stretch. Anyway, so I got there. How did I get there? By Poland and Lech Walesa. Okay, yes, the Berlin Wall. Lech Walesa was a guy who pushed the first domino. And I saw this. I was watching it on Euronews because none of the American media was covering it. And I saw after he pushed it, it looked like he stumbled a little bit. I thought he just lost his balance, but apparently it was something else. He was involved in an unfortunate collision with a cameraman on a Segway. Yeah, and now it appears his injuries were worse than first thought. Now, Lech Walesa put the first cracks in the Iron Curtain by helping to start Solidarity, the labor movement in Poland, amongst the dock workers. And he became Polish president at one point, too. But last Monday, when he stepped forward to demolish the metaphorical barrier, he also managed to topple a cameraman riding by in a Segway in order to capture the chain of events. And according to a Polish radio report, on Sunday, he injured himself in the process. The incident was caught on camera and shows Walesa taking a step backward to admire the falling dominoes for himself, but the Segway riding cameraman tried to cut it too close and clipped Walesa's back. The Nobel Peace Prize laureate lost his balance and caught himself on the already toppled first domino, but the cameraman went flying. At the time, it appeared Walesa was unharmed in the incident, but over the weekend, he told the Polish radio program Talk FM that over the last week, his injuries have become more painful, making it difficult for him to walk or get off the sofa without assistance. The difficulties prompted a trip to the hospital, where doctors found he had a torn leg muscle and a spinal injury. So, yeah. Survives communism, but gets clipped by a Segway. Don't let anybody tell you those things aren't dangerous. I mean, yeah, we all laugh when George W. Bush fell off one, but they really can be dangerous if you're not careful. They really can be intrusive. And I'd like to start a new segment of the show as an adjunct to SUVs in the news. Segways in the news. Segway accidents that have happened. Yeah, there aren't many of them yet, but mark my words, there will be. Okay, 631-632-WUSB is our phone number. We're going to jump into delay now.
Hi, this is John Schofield, and you're listening to Radio Free Long Island, WUSB in Stony Brook.
And here we are. And I'd like to see a few phone calls come in, so that we can go from one to the other. Maybe more. Again, thanks to everybody who called in over the last 4 weeks and pledged to the radio station. Made a very big difference. And made us realize that there are people out there. There are people out there who care and who value radio. And that's what's important. 631-632-9872. What's on your mind as far as all the controversy, healthcare, and trying terrorists in New York City and housing them in Illinois? Just where are we going as a society, as a planet? Things like that. 631-632-9872. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Hi, how are you doing?
Pretty good. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Long Island, Ridge.
Oh, Ridge, out there in Ridge. Very nice countryside out there.
Yes, yes it is.
We haven't ruined it yet.
Yeah, yeah, it's something else out here.
So what's on your mind?
Not too much. I was kind of interested in the healthcare reform that was coming up before.
Okay.
And my sort of interest was kind of, how do you think healthcare reform is going to impact on freedoms in general? Like, it as a social engineering thing, do you see much... much impact that way as far as people controlling who lives and who dies?
Yeah, you know, I think that's an exaggeration that it would reach that stage where there'd be these...
True. I kind of just said that to, you know, get the point across, but right. I mean, there is a lot before there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think people would never allow a control to reach a stage where you didn't have some degree of choice. And I think there's always going to be the ability for somebody to go out and just get insurance that they're happy with, you know, no matter what it costs.
I don't know. Not now. I don't think that's the case now.
Well, that's true. The insurance now is kind of bad. Well, but if you're rich, you can get all kinds of things that people like us can't afford.
Well, yeah, if you're rich, you can do whatever you want.
Right.
That's a whole different ballgame. But it seems to me the potential is there for such vicious exploitation because of the health aspect.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, here's the thing that I keep coming back to. The fact that you cannot be denied health coverage for pre-existing conditions, that alone to me seems like it is so worth it, because how many people do we know of that because they have some disease or some symptom that they've had for a while, they cannot get coverage, they wind up spending all their money, losing their homes? If that kind of thing is not possible under the new system, is that not enough in itself to say it's a good idea?
Right, right. That is a good one, and very important. But yeah, okay.
But I sold you just on that? Wow.
No, that's not really. I mean, it kind of is off of the point that I was coming at.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I'm not really kind of against the healthcare reform. It's just it does seem to me that we're headed for some pretty big problems.
Yeah, but we have pretty big problems right now, and we need to move away from those problems. And yeah, there will be new problems, and I think we can fix those too once we know what they are, once we start dealing with them. But not moving forward, that's a guarantee to just continue with the system as it is and have the same problems.
I don't think not moving forward is even a possibility at this point. I think it's going to have to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it might get stalled even for a little bit, but, you know, a little bit being less than a decade.
Yeah. I mean, these things take forever. Even if this thing got passed tomorrow, it's not going to take effect until 2013. And what worries me about that is the elections of 2012. If the Republicans succeed in getting all these people on their side and just moving things back, they could derail this before it even starts. And 2010 is, again, key to that as well.
Right, right. Well, that's, I mean, you know, it does seem like no one's, it is such a ramrod get it down the hatch program that it would be nice if somebody was kind of looking out for some, you know, very clear problems that I think are obvious.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that healthcare is not being taken care of by the government, I think everyone can you know deal with a responsible government taking care of healthcare. The only problem is the responsibility factor. How do you keep them responsible?
Well, I mean, I think looking at other countries, how they're doing it. I spoke to a Canadian a couple of weeks ago who, on his own, without me even bringing it up, said, "Don't let people fool you about healthcare in Canada. It's great, you know, because you never have to worry about certain things that we worry about all the time." And just for people to have that view in these countries tells me that, you know, they're doing something right. Maybe they're not doing everything right, but they're doing something right. And if it can be done there, why can't it be done here? We should at least look to them as examples.
Yeah. That's another sort of it. I don't think it really matters. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't want to set the bar according to other countries. I think our country can sort of set the bar for a healthcare system.
Well, yeah, we have to start, but
You're talking to somebody who worked in a healthcare system for years.
Uh-huh. Well, then you've seen it, yeah.
And I've seen it kind of go up and down, too. I've seen the infusion of money really kind of screw things up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the same time, it was the Clinton administration. So and going into the Clinton administration, it was great, just the whole atmosphere. And then to watch it just go right down the tubes was really
right.
disheartening.
But, I mean, you've seen it from the healthcare perspective, from the person perspective who doesn't have healthcare or has some kind of disease that won't be covered or has to literally lose their home because they're sick. That should not happen. And that's something that I think we just kind of brush aside.
I worker with mentally challenged people, developmentally disabled people.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, like, I had that kind of an aspect on it. And I took a lot of pride in my country for taking care of, you know, the mentally ill the way they do.
Yeah, well, AHRC does a lot of really good stuff around here. I know that much.
Yep, AHRC. I worked with DDI.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I've heard great things about them, too. That's one element that actually does work. But there are people who say that's too much. You know, it's too much involvement that people should be left on their own. And you know, I think it can be it can work if done properly, and I think that's an example of how it's done fairly properly.
Right, right. But even in the lower echelons of that system, it was disheartening to watch them milk the system for money,
uh-huh.
necessary med programs and trips like that, just to keep those funds flowing.
Yeah, no, you're right about that. That's something that needs to be analyzed and prevented from happening, and that's true of any bureaucracy.
Right, right. And you're kind of better off with that than it not being provided at all. You know what I mean? And
right.
abuse of them isn't quite as bad as them not, you know, being
right. I mean, look at it from the patient's
them.
From the patient's perspective. It's definitely a good thing that it's there than not there.
Right.
All right. Listen, I'm going to move on to another call. Thanks for your call, though.
Okay. Have
Take a good care. One. And good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Yeah, neat. Hey, quick comment about healthcare. You know, I noticed the only people who complain about Canadian and British healthcare are people who actually have never experienced it.
Mm-hmm.
When I talk to my Canadian and UK friends, they seem to like it just fine. And,
well, I mean, I've heard complaints from them, but they're not complaints saying we need an American-type system, and they really shut up fast when I tell them what it's like here where you can lose your home for being sick, because that's just completely alien to them, that kind of scenario.
Yeah, it's really interesting to me that people will hear this from, you know, from people who have no idea what they're talking about, and take it as a serious position to hold on the debate.
I think they know what they're talking about. They're just not talking about the same things we're talking about. They're talking about maintaining the status quo. They're talking about not having their taxes go up one penny, not spending money on people that are not them. You know, it's basically, you know, they do view these things as socialism. Anything that involves taking care of somebody else, they view as a degree of socialism. They don't really know the definition of the word. And they certainly aren't willing to entertain any notion that there might be some good aspects to that kind of society. Not that we're anywhere near that kind of a society. But you know, I'm afraid they might know a lot more what they're talking about than we give them credit for. They just know what they want.
Well, in terms of, you know, who knows what they're talking about, I find it hard to take any position on the health care bill because it's this massive document full of, you know, typical legalese.
Of course, yeah, any bill is.
I mean, I don't, well, yeah, this is true, and I'm just like, I don't feel I'm informed enough to really make a call on this. Mm-hmm. I mean, people can describe it in broad strokes, but, you know,
yeah, I mean, you can always
dial you're on, you're going to omit certain, you know, certain things about it.
Right, you can always disarm somebody immediately by saying, well, did you read it? And of course, nobody can read all that. It's thousands of pages long. Any bill is like this. That's just the nature of our government. That's how it works. But if there are certain key things in there that we want and we demand those key things, then at least we know that that'll be included, and that's something that the message is being sent. This matters to us.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's an interesting situation, and you know, my gut reaction is, yeah, we do need to fix the situation. I mean, to deal with a blood pressure problem, I wind up going to a free clinic. Mm-hmm. I can't afford anything else.
Yeah. Right. And, you know, we supposedly have the biggest economy in the world. We should be able to afford to take care of our people. And, you know, there's always that element that says, well, why should we be taking care of people who don't take care of themselves, as if it's someone's fault if they get cancer or heart disease or something like that? It's not survival of the fittest here. We've moved somewhat further along than that philosophy, and we actually do need to take care of those less advantaged. And sure, there'll be some people who take advantage of that. But for the most part, I think we'll wind up with a much better society if we're looking out for each other in a positive way, not in an Orwellian way.
Well, yeah, instead of this, I mean, it's obvious something's wrong when we spend more on healthcare, you know, per capita than anywhere else in the world, and it's as poor as it actually is,
mm-hmm.
the quality of service, that is. We're obviously doing it wrong. You know, the free market wankers can say what they will, but it's obvious that it's not fixing the problem.
Mm-hmm. That's definitely true. I just, you know, my biggest contention here is just basically that, yeah, we're all going to find fault with this thing, but are we better off with something than with nothing? And I just wish we'd take that step and then work on tweaking it. But if we wait till it's perfect before we move forward, we're never going to move forward. And I've seen that mentality in so many different aspects of life, where it's got to be 100% or nothing, and you wind up with nothing most of the time.
Yeah. Well, I think that's about all I got to say.
Okay, where are you calling from?
Cedar Rapids, Iowa.
Oh, wow. Great. All right. Well, thanks for calling.
Have a good one. Be seeing you.
All right. prisoner fan. Okay. Hey, our phone lines are empty. How'd that happen? They were ringing before, and now they're empty. Okay, we have time for a couple more. So people want to call in 631-632-9872. We'll be able to accept your phone call. And yeah, a lot going on, a lot of fun things. You know, we're getting new license plates here in New York State. Yeah, we're all going to have to spend $25 next year to get brand new license plates. They're going to be gold. They have a gold hue and a highly reflective surface. And they'll make the roads safer and reflect New York's force and its resilience. That's according to the state's commissioner of motor vehicle. I wonder if they really believe that. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall. Speak up. All right. Good evening. You're on Off the Wall.
Oh, hi.
Hi. Where are you calling from?
Well, I was just calling to continue the healthcare conversation, actually. I'm calling from Easton, Connecticut.
Oh, great. Okay. Are you listening on the internet or over the air?
I'm over the air.
Oh, wow. How about that? Our signal does get out there. That's great. So what's on your mind?
Okay. Well, I was listening to the first caller who said about care being denied to certain people,
mm-hmm.
and I feel that that's already going on with the insurance companies.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, absolutely.
The current bill, all it truly does is mandate that we all purchase insurance. I don't know where you're seeing the wonderful things in it that you're saying we should go along with it because it's an incremental reform towards the good.
Well, I mean, the insurance that that we purchase, first of all, if you cannot afford insurance, then that becomes evident and you're provided with insurance somehow. I'm not exactly sure how. I haven't read all thousands of pages of the bill. But by having a government plan where you cannot be denied, at least you have insurance if you get a catastrophic illness, which is something that so many people don't have today.
Well, it's going, though, to be you can't be denied, but you'll still have to purchase it.
Mm-hmm.
They can charge you any price they like. There's
I don't think they can charge any price they like. I think it has to be. I don't know exactly what the qualifications are, but I don't think the sky is the limit.
Meaning, well, the insurance companies, they haven't had any limits put on them in pricing in the new bill, the one that just was passed on Saturday from Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of the public option, right now it's only for a very small percentage of people, actually people who do already have these pre-existing conditions. And it sounds like it's going to be administered by private insurance companies, not by a Medicare-like plan.
Well, I mean, there's all different versions of this floating around. One version has a public option. One version doesn't. I happen to think the public option is a good idea because if you don't want to go with a private insurance company, you should have some ability to do that.
Public option is a terrific idea, Medicare-like one.
Yeah, but it's been difficult getting people like Joe Lieberman, like you know well, to agree to that.
Yeah.
And the thing is, are we better off having some step forward than just not doing anything and winding up with what we have now and maybe never having this opportunity again?
Well, I'm really concerned if we pass a bad bill,
mm-hmm.
that we won't be able to get a good bill in the future. They'll say we've already tried reform and it didn't work. That's what I'm concerned about. I like to follow the doctors on the PNHP website, the Physicians for a National Health Program.
Uh-huh.
And that's kind of the tack they've decided to take, that a bad bill will kind of kill any future reform, and they're very worried about that.
Yeah, you know, I know a lot of doctors because I have doctors in my family, and they always have been against any kind of health reform because it does affect.
Want Medicare for everybody from birth, PNHP.
Yeah, I mean, they basically want people to pay as much as possible. That's what I've noticed. I mean, I'm being unfair, of course, because not all doctors think the same way, but. I have noticed a lot of people simply don't want any kind of change at all because it would affect their bottom line.
Okay.
All right, listen, we're out of time, but thanks so much for the call.
All right, bye-bye.
All right. And, wow, we have a lot of calls on the line. I'm sorry we don't have more time. Next week we'll take more calls. How's that? Wow. Okay, well, thanks, everybody, for calling in. You can write to us, otw@2600.com. That's 2600.com. We'd love to hear from you. You can hear all of the off-the-wall archives up there as well. Don't forget to listen to Voice of Long Island as well on that same website from 1981. Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Write to us here, otw@2600.com, for either show. And is this the closing theme to The Prisoner? That's what it sounds like. Wow. How about that? Well, the thing is, it's only a minute long, and it's 6:57. So you know what? I'm going to stop it right there so I can start it again when it's a little bit closer. Wow, I didn't realize how short that was. But yeah, apparently I picked that because the Prisoner is airing right now on AMC for another night, I believe, and then it ends. Yeah, and of course Finn comes on right afterwards. He'll be here in a minute and a half or so, plays the opening theme of The Prisoner as his theme. It's amazing how it all works out. Yeah, you know, I mistimed it. I'm sorry. I have to banter until we get to the 2 minute mark, which is about another 30 seconds or so, but I can do that. I can do that. I can say that, tune in tomorrow night for Off the Wall on WBAI at 7 PM. So I'll be on that show as well. And again, you can get, archives of all the programs on www.2600.com. You'll find the radio links there working just fine. And again, if you go to WUSB.FM, you can link to all of the programming here on this amazing radio station, the one that hopefully you were supporting. And you know, if you're kicking yourself for not supporting us during the radiothon, you can still do it. You can go online, WUSB.FM, and there's a special area where you can donate to the radio station and keep us healthy and strong and fix the CD players that need a good ass kicking. Oh, okay. Now we've made it. The closing theme to episode 17 of The Prisoner back in the 1960s. Wow. I never found out who actually did this piece. So maybe one of you with an iPhone or something, after I shut up, can hold it up to the speaker and find out who the actual composer is. But it'll probably just say the same thing, theme from The Prisoner, that I have. So we won't really learn anything. All right. That's it for me, Emmanuel. I'll be here next week. Have yourselves a good night. Take care.